Yep, there she
Hi,
All right. Good evening, everybody. Good to see you all. Thank you for coming. It's a pleasure. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Pam. Once again, opening up your home to us for this opportunity to what I hope will grow into a much a regular thing, into a regular thing of having conversations and discussions on Jewish topics that I think we can all learn from. So
it's not even a week after Sintastara. Calendar-wise, we're doing great.
They are.
Because, one, check.
Yeah, that's right. Because think about it. It's only October. It's still only October, which means, theoretically, we have November, December, January, February, March, April, maybe even into May. So we can go ahead and we got a full year. We're going to go ahead and learn. And
fill out that jukebox.
And fill out the jukebox. That's the topic this year. Jukebox of Judaism. Jukebox of Judaism. And the goal is to take classic songs that we're familiar with, whether it's the title or even some of the lyrics about songs, and look at it through the lens of a Jewish perspective. Do we agree with that title? Is it a Jewish concept? Is it something that we know that's very not a Jewish concept? Using this, I can't promise that I am the expert in the field of music, but I definitely have an appreciation for it. But certainly titles and lyrics, I have much greater appreciation for songs that I listen to the lyrics and understand than just pounding on the drums and somehow garbling words like Stevie
you mean
Nicks.
1940 like Stevie, and all.
Right. Like Stevie Nicks. It's never going to grow on me. I just can't understand one word. Can't understand. Garble. So.
Stevie Nicks?
Whatever. That was when I was a kid.
Yes, that's when. Right. Yes,
okay.
Then I could understand it. It's now that I can't.
Somebody said to me, I'm surprised that you know non-Jewish music. I said, I didn't grow up with a Talmud in my hand. I appreciated a lot of the non-Jewish music. I don't appreciate a lot of it now. That it definitely does not appeal to me. But I'm pretty, I can't necessarily do artist and what year it came out. That's more of my colleague, Rabbi Dave, who can do that. Crazy knowledge based on this. But throw a name out, a group or an artist, I'm pretty familiar till the recent times. So I think to get started, I think we have to first take a step back and to discuss the power of music. Before we pick a particular song or a particular title to a track, let's talk about music. I'm curious, from your perspective, how does music strike you? Are you very into music? You're into music. Any particular genre?
I like 80s and 90s.
Okay.
I grew up with a classical background from my father because he was he's on opera.
Okay.
And listened specifically to Russian opera and some Italian. But I also wrote Beatles, Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, and so I like the 60s, 70s. Just went to Elton John, fantastic concert.
But do you feel connected with it?
Yes, very much so.
Does it move you? Do you feel different emotions based on different pieces?
Yes, definitely.
Everybody, yes?
And I feel like it can change my mood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting.
Sad, maybe I'll put on some music that makes me happier, or maybe I'll put on something that's more emotional and, you know, just wallow in whatever I'm feeling.
Okay. Is there a particular genre you prefer?
I'm kind of a...
Rap, I get it. Yes, for sure.
Pop.
You're a pop.
Yeah, I like to dance. I like to dance that. Around to something with a good beat. And
Dua Lipa.
Yes.
I have to just say 70s because you're saying 80s and 90s. And I have to say
70s. What about you?
The best.
Music is one of the greatest joys of life.
Yes, Carol is a big music.
I don't know if I'm an aficionado, but certainly love it.
Do you play?
Almost all genres. I have played, you know, more just noodling around about proficient in any one that I enjoy. Bang out a couple minutes.
It's a fascinating concept, music, if you think about it. You know, it's not a new phenomenon at all. I mean, music, if you look at any of the history of any culture, there's the music played a very central role, both in rituals or even just as part of society. Music was there from the ancient Egyptians. They had music for infertility, medicinal purposes. They had a certain song. You know, they would have the rain dance. Right? It was a beat. It was a certain thing that because you had to reach out to the gods to get rain. It was throughout history. It's always been that way. African drum lessons. Alexander the Great restored his sanity with music. King Saul, in our own history, King Saul suffered from melancholy and to some degree probably would be diagnosed with some mental disorder. But what calmed him down was music. Who played for him? Who was the musician who played for King Saul? King David. King David, exactly. A little twist of irony. It was little David that ultimately took his kingdom. But yeah, this is an old story, you know. In the temple, as part of the service, it was a requirement. It's so interesting. Most people are not aware that even when they brought offerings in the temple, whether it was wine libations or animals, whatever it was not an accepted offering if it wasn't accompanied with song.
Really?
Yes. The Levites, we know that the Kohanim are the ones who will perform the service, but the Levites were in charge of music. There were steps, 15 steps that led from one part of the temple to the next, because obviously it's on a mountain, the Temple Mount, right? Think of, right? So as you move further in or up the temple, you have to go up steps. So there were 15 steps. They were colloquially known as the Shir HaMa'alot, the Songs of Ascension. It's a cute title because you were going up the steps to the next level in the temple, but it also was the Song of Ascension because there are exactly 15 psalms that King David wrote that start with those two words, a Song of Ascension. And that's what was known. That's where the Levites sang with their musical instruments on those 15 steps. So song has been a part, music has been a part of our culture from way back when. I'm sorry, Joe, can I trouble you for
water?
A Torah, you know, a chumash.
Water.
I have water. No, I'm good. Water. I'm good. Fascinating. It's crazy fascinating. Thank you, sir. You ready for this? Very early on, I'm talking like the first parsha, like last week, like the first parsha in the Torah, Bereishit. Fascinating. It talks about. Let me just find the right verse. Hold on. All right, now I'm gonna have to earn my degree. Hold on. It's talking about Cain and Abel. We all know that. Okay, that story. And it talks about a man named Lamech. Lamech took to himself two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other was Selah. Adah bore Yuval. He was the ancestor of those who dwell in tents and amidst herds. He was a shepherd. And the name of his brother was Yuval. He was the ancestor of all who played the lyre and pipe. And then you have another one. He was in charge. He forged all implements of copper and iron. And then it moves on in the story. The Torah doesn't just tell us everybody's profession. It's just not a thing, right? Yet it singles out these three, one of whom is a musician. Like this is chapter 4. Book one. That's pretty early on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because music plays a very vital role. So much so, this is a little bit more funky. The very first word in the Torah is?
Is in the...
Try the Hebrew now. Hebrew. The real language for the Torah.
Bereshit.
Thank you. What is... Oh. Bereshit means in the beginning. What?
That's what she just said.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. Sorry. Bereshit. Fascinating. If you look at that word and you scramble the six letters into different formats, you have the word ta'ev shir. Those six letters can be rearranged into ta'ev shir. Shir means song. Ta'ev means desires. Desirous song. Part and parcel of the creation of our world. First word about creation in the Torah can be rearranged to spell the words desirous of song. God wants music. It's a part of who we are in the world in which we live. And what we're going to do is explore, I think, a very interesting aspect about this. You talked about changing your mood, right? It has been scientifically proven that music can change the respirations. It can change your heart rate. It can change not just the mood, your blood pressure. It really can affect your entire well-being, positively or negatively. I have to throw that out there. It's not an automatic. But music has a tremendous effect and impact on us as individuals. Okay, I don't have to go through all of this. But here's the question. I know it's early, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. The story of Purim. We all know that story, right? We have a story. We read the book of Esther, where we're told about King Ahasuerus and his grand vizier, right? That's a word that you only use after seeing Aladdin, right? The grand vizier, Haman, okay? But the Megillah, the book of Esther, begins with a party. King Ahasuerus throws a party. For how long?
3 days.
Try again.
6 months?
Yes. 180 days.
It's too long.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a miracle.
180 days.
A weekend would be that.
Yeah.
It happened in the days of Ahasuerus. The Ahasuerus who reigned over 127 provinces. In those days when King Ahasuerus occupied the royal throne in the fortress Shushan in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all the officials and courtiers, the administration of Persian media, the nobles and the governors of the provinces of his service. For no fewer than 180 days, he displayed the vast riches of his kingdom and the splendid glory of his majesty. At the end of this period, the king gave a banquet for 7 days, an additional 7 days, in the court of the king's palace garden for all the people who lived in Shushan, the capital city. There were hangings of white cotton and blue wool, caught up by cords of fine linen, purple wool, to silver rods and alabaster columns. There were couches of gold and silver on pavement of marble, alabaster, mother of pearl, and mosaics. Royal wine was served in abundance, as befits a king, in golden beakers of varied designs. And the rule for the drinking was no restrictions. The king had given orders to every palace steward to comply with each man's wishes, and so on and so forth. You have wine, you have food, you have beautiful, it's out in the garden, palace, and you have gold and silver and marble, and it's just exquisite party. With everything. What's missing? There's not one mention of music.
What kind of party is that?
That is $1 million.
Did they have chocolate
fountain? You haven't noticed that? We've heard this story many times. Did you never even notice there was no music? And you say, but well, it doesn't list everything. Really? It goes into excruciating detail.
So they don't say anything about dancing?
Zilch. Zilch. no music. Why does King Ahasuerus throw a lavish party with no music? Strange. He's got a party in the garden. You have smell. Beautiful curtains, richly colored materials for the beauty of sight. Benches of gold and silver for touch. Food and drink for taste. I want my money back. We went to the Elton John concert.
But he did
King Ahasuerus doesn't know to have Elton John. Come on. A good question.
Didn't he call his wife?
Yeah.
To that, come and play right? Or sing?
Well, I don't play and sing.
Oh, yeah. He just called her.
He called her to come and show off her beauty.
Oh.
But not for now. Another time, another place. But why no music? You ever notice that?
Yeah, I did.
You did notice that before?
We did a play. Perform.
Right.
That's right.
I remember you, right? And they made a point of saying there was no music.
No.
I was gonna say, I think I would
but I noticed
100 people out of 100, right?
As you were describing.
It screams a question. 100 out of 100 people will miss this. I'm not even saying one. Nobody gets this. Myself included for many years until I saw someone raise the question. It's a fascinating question. So who would like to propose an answer?
Maybe it was death.
I would think that something of that significance should be recorded and tell us.
That's true.
That there was no music because the king was deaf, which we know is not true because the rest of the story is
Done.
What do you think, Sharon? It's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah, but my mind was going to a tangent. I'll start by saying my oldest is a professional musician.
There you go.
When he was younger, he went to a music camp, which the others went to also. And the little one was there recently. And big hotshot trumpet player, he plays with the Philharmonic in DC and he performs during a concert during the camp. That's Franklin Band Camp in Fairfax County. And he talks about a little bit about the history of the trumpet. And he had talked about, I was there one time, I wasn't there the last concert that Gina was at, but he's played every year. And he's not Jewish. And he pulled out a ram's horn and talked about this is like the first trumpet and blew on it.
Huh.
And he said something about this is what they use. And he called it in the Jewish churches, but he realized that it was, you know, a religious thing and that Jewish people use it. And I just thought that was fascinating. And, you know, he was sort of going through the history of the trumpet and bringing in that ram's horn. And then Gina came home and told me about it. And it was just kind of really interesting.
That's interesting. That is fascinating. What do you think, Pamela?
Why was there no music?
Right.
Well, because, I mean, how many poems have I lived through? I'm about to expose myself again for not knowing, but it was something was brewing there, something dark, right? Weren't we headed toward maybe the lack of music represents?
Go ahead, come on.
You're reeling you in. You don't want people to get carried away. Wanted to keep it a little subdued.
A lavish party? That's the last thing I would have expected. I think he would want party to your heart's delight.
But then it would be over much faster.
That's just our parties. That's not
what's going on. Oh, okay.
Okay. Just because we're all older doesn't mean that that's how it was back then. They could party. Here's an interesting thing to consider. Throwing it out there as a possibility. We all talked already about the fact that music can change our mood. It has an impact on us. Could it inspire us?
Yeah.
Could music inspire you?
Yes, yes.
It certainly can. Now, you said something interesting. You said something dark. Something was lurking. So you're right, because why are we reading this story? What is the significance that Ahasuerus is throwing this party? What's that got to do with me? I know it's a nice backdrop to a storyline, but this is not just a nice novel. This is part of Tanakh. This is part of the holy books. What's recorded is meant for us to ask, why is it recorded? What's the significance? So you're right. This is part of a plan. Haman and Ahasuerus had a plan. This is how they were going to lure the Jews in. This is how they were going to get them to become more a part of society. Remember, Haman turns to Ahasuerus when the plan doesn't work so well, and he says, well, there's this nation. They're different than all of us.
Like they do their own thing.
They do their own thing. This party where he invited everybody, Jew and Gentile alike. Come, let's all do things together. We'll all drink. We'll all eat. We'll all kosher, non-kosher. Don't worry. It's all good. It's all good. No boundaries. No limitations. Let's enjoy all one together. Ahasuerus is no dummy. If I go, let's say I'm doing something I'm not supposed to. Let's just say. Right? Remember, I wasn't born with a Talmud in my hand. So I'm talking from experience here. I visited the principal's office more than one occasion, not as a staff member. Okay? And on the way or in the principal's office, I see something that reminded me of, an earlier grade, or I saw a cousin of mine on the wall as student of the month. Something that would be like, come on, Speed. You know you can do better than this. You can find some sort of inspiration to get you back on track, right? Do I think in my heart that the principal purposely does that and has things out to try to catch you? The answer is yes. I do believe he was a very, very smart man, right? But think about it. If music has the potential to inspire us. Ahasuerus is playing with fire. If he's going to play music at this party, maybe it'll be something in the back of their minds. They'd be like, what am I doing? Like for me, if I were to hear a rap song, I would run the other way.
All of them?
Pretty much. Not my thing. It inspires me in the wrong direction. It just doesn't, right? But if I hear an old song, I hear a love song, or I hear an inspirational song that I remember as a kid, I'm like, yeah, this is good. This is good stuff, right? Ahasuerus wants to ensure that we don't make that move, and that we stay with the party, stay with the program. You see, music doesn't just affect your mood. You know what it touches? It touches your soul. That's how deep it goes. It has the ability to touch your soul. You say, come on. It's like, you're exaggerating. Am I reading it right? Am I reading it?
Maybe.
Okay. I know my stories. But it really is true. It really, really does. Did you sing lullabies to your children?
Why? We play pajamathon every night.
Why? Soothing. It's soothing. Music calms the savage beast. That's what we said in our house. Right? It does. It has an effect. Again, I'm not an expert, but studies keep showing that even these people who play music to their baby in utero. Mm-hmm. Really? Rabbi, come on. Okay. I say the same thing. Really? The answer is yes. They do. They pick up things because it has an effect, not just on a mood, but even on one's soul. They tell a lot of stories about this, but I found fascinating in some of the early literature, it talks about, you know, we live in a physical world, but one of the beautiful things about Judaism and that it teaches us, like the Matrix, is that there's more than one universe going on at the same time here, right? There's parallel universes. We call one physical and the other spiritual, but there's two things going on at least. Okay. Well, I asked myself, okay, so this is a physical table. This is a physical glass, and this is a plate and a phone, and right, all these things are in the physical world, right? But there's some connection to something in the spiritual world, certainly when we talk about people, right? The very first chapter, we're told that how did God create mankind? How did he create the first human being? It's chapter 2, actually. Sorry.
From the earth.
And what did he do?
He breathed into him.
Oh, he breathed into him the breath of life. Doesn't say that about any other creature. All the other creatures, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth all the beasts of the earth and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the fish and the birds and this, except when it comes to man. With man, it says he formed him out of the dust of the ground and blew into him the breath of life, a soul. We are the first hybrid. Long before Prius, we are the first. Physical and spiritual, they go together. Body and soul, they are inextricably bound. You can't separate them. Point to your soul. Yeah, you point to your heart, right? It could be here, it could be here, it could even be here. It's throughout your body. It's your whole essence. There's no one spot because that's the physical world. Point to your heart, that's over here, because if you point here, you're wrong. In the physical world, you have your limitations. These are the boundaries. This is where it is, and this is where it's not. That's the beauty of time and space. This is where it exists, matter. Not when in the spiritual world. The spiritual world doesn't have that limitation. So yet body and soul work together. Music is the most intangible of the physical world. Think about that for a second. Music is on such a high, lofty level that it is the most intangible in the physical world.
What about thinking?
Okay.
Is that in the physical world?
It uses the physical brain and the neurons and their touching, you know, the electrical, that's all part of the process. But a thought is an intangible. That's 100% true. 100% true. In fact, that's the amazing aspect, that I can go ahead and have a thought, somehow articulate it and share it with you, and now that thought is in your head.
But that's the only way. Well, no, that's not true. You could have an expression.
You can read, right?
You can. But I mean, I can't just sit next to you and know what you're thinking. You know?
Well, I don't know.
Well,
okay. My wife seems to.
I can't definitely.
But it's a fascinating thing. Music is such a ephemeral, I don't know what the right word is, but it's not, when you listen to music, yes, I know it's sound waves that we're hearing, but it touches us in a way that's beyond the physics. It really is. The great Vilna Gaon, his name was Rabbi Eliyahu Kramer, who lived in the late 1700s. He was a brilliant man. He's known as the Vilna Gaon. A Gaon is a genius. The Gaon from the city of Vilna. The Vilna Gaon. If you ever want to look it up, he came up with what's known in math as Kramer's theorem. You can look it up. That's it. That's this great Torah scholar, Kramer's theorem, still holds today, okay? He said that if not for the wisdom of Torah, classical music would be the highest level of wisdom in our world. If you think about it, and those of you who have a greater appreciation of music can understand that. when you hear, it's different than a Simon and Garfunkel song. It's different than a Beatles song. It's different than Lady Gaga song. It's all different. Classical music has a way of expressing ideas and concepts far greater than any song that an artist will just, you know, any singer will do. It's a totally different level. It's concepts, not just a lyric or a nice piece of music. It is expressing a story or communicating an idea. It's fascinating because music can touch your soul. Now, what's the effect? So the truth is, and I loved the fact that you offered to, you know, that it can change your mood. Mm-hmm. I love that. Because what happens is that sometimes the mood or the emotion or that which is hidden with deep within you, that feeling, music brings it out. So sometimes you want to change that mood. You're feeling not in a good mood, so you'll play a kind of music to try to change that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you said, right, and I'm so glad you said it, is sometimes you want to play to the emotion. And I'm not, I'm in a ticked off mood and that's what I'm going to play, yeah. Right? My give a damn is broken. That's the song I'll play, right? There is a song like that, by the way, okay? And I want to play to that. So music has an ability to delve deep within us and bring out what's within us.
Sometimes maybe I'm sad, I don't even know.
Right. And it's that song on the radio and all of a sudden you start tearing up. You didn't even realize it. Yes, it's a great point. Exactly the idea in that it touches us in a way that perhaps we didn't even realize that's how deep within us. That means, just to follow the corollary of this, is that let's say I'm a good person. Let's say deep down I am. I make my mistakes. No, I'm mistaken. It wasn't me. Right? Right? We make them. But I generally, inside, I'm good. You know what? Forget the lyrics, but a tune, the music itself, right? When it strikes a chord within me, it brings out goodness. For a lunatic, when they hear the music, what does it do? It eggs them on and they become sugar. They become crazy. It brings out what's within them. Music has that ability. That's why you have to be careful. Right? That's why you have to be careful. What kind of music am I going to listen to? Because what's the emotion I want to bring out of myself? I'm a complex guy. I have more than one. I'm not a one-trick pony. I'm not always happy. Sorry. I'm not always sad. I'm not always this. I'm complex. Sometimes I'm like this, I'm like that. And the wrong music can bring out the wrong thing in me, right? It can egg me on for stuff that I shouldn't. Because music has that ability. Many times you can hear, let's say, Jewish lyrics. You probably aren't so familiar with it, but I've come across many times of where an artist will take a non-Jewish song and put Jewish lyrics to it. Right? Is that a good thing, a bad thing? It depends. It really does depend. They're not taking copyright rights. It's not an infringement of any copyrights.
Yeah, I'm just thinking one time I ended up I went to a high holiday service with my parents, and they did a Adorno Mom to Amazing Grace.
There you go. Oh.
And I was like, okay, I'm not coming back.
But, see, it's funny. I hear where you're coming from, and obviously I understand the inappropriateness of that. But look at the emotion it just evoked in you. Think about it. Look at that.
And that's
right?
A beautiful melody.
It's a beautiful yeah, melody.
But maybe you were thinking the whole connotation of the song, not just
correct.
The melody.
Correct. Yeah. But look at that. I'm seeing what I'm saying. Like, she needs a drink. Yeah. I think she needs wine. I don't think water's going to cut it for her.
Also, music can remind you, can be linked to a memory.
Yeah.
And so you could be like, walking along your day, and then a song comes on that reminds you of something that out of nowhere, right, will evoke that
memory and the emotion that's linked to that.
Correct. I had that not that long ago when I heard a song, and the first thing that popped into my head was my father. My father passed away 6 years ago. I don't necessarily think of him every single day. I think of him, but that song. I'm like, I don't want any of that. Mm-hmm. And then you have the emotion. Right? So deep within us is so much, and music has the ability to draw that out.
Like in a movie.
Or no, that's correct.
Oh, yeah.
That's correct. Certain soundtrack
from your life. Yeah.
Right. It's so funny. I will never, never, ever, ever forget the first horror film I saw.
And you said, can't you hear the music? Turn around and run.
No.
It wasn't
I
the Exorcist.
Thought it was not the Exorcist.
Okay. It's for me. Priests.
Well.
Oh.
Although I did see it.
Okay.
but I remember it vividly because it was already towards the end of the movie and the music had already become calm. And I was like, okay, they made it through the night.
Right.
You think, okay, the person is on a lake and
calm
and it's quiet and I'm beginning to breathe again finally. I'm scared out of my jibbies and it's calming and it's like, and you hear the music change on a dime. And of course, someone jumps out of the lake and then it's not over yet. But I will never forget that. But the music lulled me into that false sense of security because it was calming. It was good. The sun was up already. It wasn't the craziness of the night. I remember this.
It happened in broad daylight.
Was that Friday the 13th?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
They announced a lot of movies, too.
That's right. 13th. I will never forget that.
Yes.
It totally caught me off.
Yeah, because you think it's done.
Right.
I'm getting goosebumps.
Right.
But it wasn't the scene. Take away the music, and it's not the same scene.
Right.
It's the same. The music nailed me. Absolutely.
I used to watch scary movies holding my ear.
It's amazing. We don't take the time to think about it, but how powerful that is.
You ever see scenes of music of movies without the soundtrack?
You're okay.
Score, it's a totally different
experience. Correct. That's correct. The music makes it or breaks it. Clearly. Okay. We're gonna come full circle now. Add one more piece. Our prayer service in the morning, okay, whether it's a weekday, Shabbat, holidays, doesn't make a difference. The first section is known as Psukei Dezimra. That's what it literally means, verses of song. That's what it means. However, great insight. The word Zimra, which is like, you know, when I was growing up, we used to sing Zmiros. You sing Zmiros. That was the songs that you sang at the Shabbos table. From the word Zemer. Zemer means song. In fact, one of the nice bands in Baltimore is known as Zemer Orchestra.
Oh, really?
That's what it's called. Great name. That's nothing.
Yeah.
So the word Psukei Dezimra, verses of song, some say because the same spelling, not even jumbling the letters, but the word Zemer or Zimra can be read as Zimora. Same word, same letters, same order. Zimora means pruning. That you go into your garden and you prune the garden. What are you doing? What exactly are we doing when we prune stuff?
Cutting
off dead stuff. Why?
To make it grow.
To make the dead stuff grow?
No, the black stuff.
In fact, you're making room. You're cutting away so that greater growth can happen with that plant, bush, tree, whatever. Right? That's what it is. You're cutting away the unnecessary at that point and allowing greater stuff. Some suggest that that's really what the first section of our prayer service is where I'm pruning away the distractions, pruning away. I got to get myself focused. I don't know about you, but for me, to just walk in and just be in the zone doesn't happen. It takes time. I got to psych myself. I got to get into it. I got to feel it. Very often it's with music, not necessarily with the instruments, but just a singing and everybody joining. And It takes time to do that. So these verses of song are acting as a mechanism of pruning, starting to dial away some of the other distractions so that I can get into the zone. Okay. Now perhaps we can understand why Ahasuerus left music out of the party. The Jewish people are at this party. They're really not supposed to be at this party. It's not for them. In fact, Mordechai had told them, don't go. Don't go. And they didn't listen. They didn't listen. But Ahasuerus was still worried because the Jewish people, all they need is one good song. All they need is one kind of music, and it'll tap into that deep within them what they're supposed to be doing. They're going to be inspired. I shouldn't be here. This is not for us. It's not where I belong. He wasn't taking any chances. So he left music out because it could have the effect of dredging up within the soul the goodness. I was like, we don't belong here. Mordechai told us not to be here. This is not us. He avoided the whole situation. So he left the music out. It would strike a chord, right? Sorry. Right? Within the hearts of the Jews, and that would inspire them, which is not what he wanted. This is the impact that one can have, that music can have on us. Okay, here's what I'm going to suggest. We're not going to have enough time to do an entire topic based on a song, just given the time. But what I want to do is to get from you certain, now that you know this background, now that you understand, my goal in this class is to analyze what's the power or the message behind a particular song. Okay? So for example, I think on the flyer, I put a couple of examples. We put
All You Need Is Love.
All You Need Is Love, Beatles, 1967. All You Need Is Love. Is that really true? All You Need Is Love. Don't answer the question. but let's analyze that. What is the Jewish perspective on love? Huh?
I don't know.
It's a good question.
Good question.
How about, I think another one we had on there, only the good die young, mm-hmm. right? Why do bad things happen to good people? It's a hard
those
topic.
Are two interesting questions.
Right? There was a third one we had on there.
Yes.
You've Got a Friend Maybe?
Oh, You've Got a Friend in Me or something like that.
I love that song.
Let's talk about what is the Jewish perspective about friendship? How critical is it? Does it play a role? What level? Does it override different relationships? These are questions that my intention is to use the titles as a springboard for the conversation. I'm not promising that I'm going to tell you that this song by this artist and these lyrics are exactly the same as what it says in the Torah. I'm not making any claims like that. That's way above my pay grade.
But somewhere over the rainbow.
So interesting. I did that last night. That's what inspired me last night to give my class. I spoke about the rainbow. And I was thinking about this class, and that's exactly what I said. I said, wouldn't it be nice to talk about somewhere over the rainbow? And I talked about what's the story of after the flood and the rainbow and what it represents. That's exactly what I did. Okay, once you mentioned it, think of this in terms of the rainbow. How many colors? You say that with such conviction.
Seven.
Roy G. Biv.
They got rid of violet.
They did?
I think so. Oh, it's, yeah.
That's Pluto.
Blue.
Right, they got rid of Pluto.
Is that what it is now?
Well, there's still one.
There's still seven.
But it's right.
There's still seven. What's so interesting? How many notes on the musical scale?
Seven.
In Western physics?
Yeah, seven. All right, it's seven. Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti.
Oh, I did do.
Do, yeah.
Would you like Julie Andrews to come and sing it for you?
Oh, and she
does do again.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's a That's not a coincidence. That's not a coincidence because, come on, think about our. I need to borrow my glasses.
Okay.
You have to see. No, you have to see the world a certain way. There's 7 days of the week. However, Sharon, we know that it doesn't end after Shabbos. That is just the springboard for the next round. There is no ending at seven. It goes right away to the next. It goes to eight. And yes, we return back to dough. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
There's always that concept. The seven, however, is the concept of, take a step back. The number six is representative or symbolic of the physical world in which we live. Everything that we have in our physical world is a 3D model. Right? It's 3D. It has three dimensions. That's what makes it by definition something in our physical world. Something three dimension has six sides. Right? Huh?
Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Sharon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for coming for pickup.
That's okay.
Right?
Thanks for coming.
So everything in the physical world is the number six. That's what it is. What's seven?
One.
No, one would be one.
Well, I mean, starting again?
No.
No.
Well, think of it this way. What makes... God, I don't get it.
Well, is seven the spiritual world? Or the,
well, go ahead.
The
world to connection.
The...
Sounds like.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Come on. Let's start piecing this together. I'll give you a hint. Prius.
It's the hybrid, the creation of man, who's the connection hybrid between the two.
Oh, okay, that's what I'm looking for. It's the spiritual within the physical. Think of Shabbat. It's the seventh day.
Yeah.
We don't just meditate the cosmos on Shabbat. What do we do? There's a mitzvah on Shabbos to eat.
Physical. I was going to say, I thought that would be one.
It is because three meals. That's right. It's unique. The other days of the
supposed
to have one Friday night, one Shabbos lunch-ish time, and one later in the day. Huh. Yeah, there's a special mitzvah.
That's why you have your challahs. You have to have two whole. That's why you get rid. So you have two whole, and then at lunch, and they say it's still have two whole. You can't invite too many people. Then you've got to.
Oh, the problems we have. Oh, the Jews suffer. Right? But there's a mitzvah. Because the concept of Shabbos is where we're infusing spirituality into the physicality. Not totally separate from, but it's, if you think of the cube, right, your six-sided thing, there really is a seventh part. It's the space in the middle. There's It's not just the six sides, there's also the space in the middle, right? We're infusing within it spirituality. That's why the days of the weeks are seven. That's why your rainbow is seven. That's why the music, because all of these things are representing not six purely physical, but they contain within it a higher dimension of spirituality that we connect with. Hence, seven.
What's the six relationship between the six and the physical world?
That's 3D. Everything is three dimensional. It has six sides.
Right.
It has height, weight, and no, it has, what is it? Length, width, and height. Length, width, and height. They're always three dimensions. Right? But infusing spirituality, that's six and seven. Eight, by the way, eight is what we call lamala min hateva, above the natural. Like, for example, Hanukkah. Okay. Hanukkah is 8 days. Whatever. Hanukkah is 8 days because it's the miraculous nature that the oil burned for more than before. Anything above the natural, supernatural, is associated with eight. That's why we do circumcision. on the eighth day, because we are the people that believe that there is a concept of above and beyond, not limited to the physical world.
Is that why the festivals are 8 days?
Well, they're yes and no. They're really only seven. Festivals are only 7 days, but
that Israel not.
Yes, that's a diaspora. And yes. Okay. But I'm going astray here. But the concept that the rainbow has seven colors is very much in line with this concept of where you have a higher level dimension, spirituality that is infused. What is the message of the rainbow?
Oh, somewhere over the rainbow was it was the dream of being in Jerusalem.
Great. That's where they adopted that. Yes. But I'm asking the original from the story of Noah and the flood.
Oh.
That's the first
promise.
A promise that God says that despite us not behaving well and the world being to some degree very corrupt, I will not destroy it by water again. It's my word. It's my covenant. I promise I won't do it again. So it's a little bit of a warning, but at the same time, it is expressing hope that God hasn't given up on us. Right? There's that concept. We can go on and on and on. You can throw out, give me another song. I don't know. We can do this all day.
Oh,
pick a song.
All day.
I just give you a taste of where I want to go with this.
All my loving.
Okay, we'll talk about love. I already gave you that.
Great. I'm thinking of a Beatles song that I have to sing in my head before I can think of that name.
I made a list once. Stairway to Heaven. We believe in heaven and hell. Right? We do that in here, actually.
Stairway to Heaven. That's so obvious. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I don't know, but what about like Free Bird?
Okay, what about it? Tell me about it. I don't know enough about the song.
I don't know either. Wait.
Exactly.
Joe, help me out here. My girl.
Okay. Billy Joel, which one?
No.
Oh,
so
Temptations.
Yeah.
Oh, my girl. Temptations. Okay. So, talking about. Yes. Okay. What does it mean?
I have no idea. Like, just talking about a girl.
Okay. We can talk about a girl. I got no problem with that. But I let's pick songs or titles that have what seemed to be a message.
Don't fear the reaper.
There you go. Okay, don't
fear the reaper.
Right. So that's a good thing. What is our beliefs in terms of the angel of death? What is it? What an afterlife? What is it that should I fear? Should I not fear? Is it better that I be born and I go through life the way it is, or better I not have been born in the first place?
I have a good one.
Right? I have a good one too.
Okay. She came first. Oh,
okay. You'll never walk alone.
Great. Who's that referring to?
A person in crisis.
Great. Okay. Person in crisis. Jesus. I was thinking God, but that's the idea. It's exactly my point. If we take time to pick titles that generate a conversation, a discussion, looking at it from a Jewish perspective, then that's exactly what I would like to accomplish.
So some of them we could just get the titles, right? Or the songs, right?
What do you mean?
I mean, we're looking for songs that are...
My suggestion is the following. You all have my email? You have my email address? Forward me 5 suggestions.
What was your song?
My Girl.
No, I'm thinking of We Didn't Start the Fire.
Stupid little love songs?
Billy Joel.
Which one? Yeah.
We Didn't Start the Fire.
We Didn't Start the Fire. Responsibility, consequences. We can talk about, right? Exactly. That's exactly my point. Everybody take time over the next week or two and send me 5 suggestions of classic songs or titles that you think would generate a conversation that you'd like to learn more about. That's it. That's the topic this year. We're going to create our own jukebox of Judaism. That's my goal. I think it's cool.
It's cool.
I like the idea.
It's cool. You were talking about, you know, putting Jewish groups or putting Jewish words
right.
on. So for me, the classic is One Republic's, what is it? Good Life? And they, Yeah, yeah, and they have a Rosh Hashanah version. That, well, one more public doesn't, one of those other groups.
Some other group, right.
Sure, which I love playing that because it just, you know, you want to have a good life. And it's, and then when you hear the original version, same thing, like this is a good life, you know.
There are a lot of really good songs out there that have great messages, and there's a whole bunch that I would very humbly disagree with the message. But
that's okay.
That doesn't mean that you have a message. It's just an attitude you don't like.
That's correct.
That's the same as you saying, like, you know, the whole rap thing or more modern music. So my daughter likes to listen to scream and emo music, and she can have her whatever radio playing.
It works for people.
And it's just like, excuse me. Like, Rachel, that's amusing.
We
it didn't for her though.
Okay. And it's doing some to you.
Right. And she had like she there.
You know, my daughter is so and we have Alexa in every room of this house, which back to something you said before, I have to say, has brought a lot of music into my life. You know, I'm not a person who comes in the house and turns on the radio. It's just radio in the car. Come in the house, turn on the TV, or you don't, right? But having Alexa has, you know, could anytime ask, and it really has been a lift, I must say, that I didn't anticipate in the beginning. But anyway, so she has one in her room. And come to find out a year later that her music that she wants to listen to is Japanese music. With Japanese words that she doesn't speak Japanese, but she can sing the song like she's listened to it so that she can get the whole tune and language thing, even though she doesn't know what she's saying, but it is elicited some feeling.
Right.
Or she's looked up further, like, what does the song mean? Which, of course, we use the internet and you can look everything
right,
up. And,
right.
Without knowing the language, and she just sings along. It's incredible. It is. Listening feelings in her when she doesn't even know what.
You know. We definitely have, if we haven't taken the time to really analyze or look into it further, we are underestimating the power of music significantly.
So, and that's the thing about music with words attached can elicit different feelings than just hearing music.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
So I love listening to the Nutcracker Suite. Just
the music is phenomenal.
It's something that was played at my house, you know, and
I love it too. Every time I hear a piece,
there's so many different emotions about just the music or the music in a memory or the music and Fantasia, the love right. Fantasia right. piece with it. And, you know, it's just, so when you were saying classical music, and that's where, depending on who you are and where you are, you know, other people might not get that classical music.
I'm not saying I like classical music.
No, not to like it or not like it. I'm just saying
what's the depth.
Yeah, some people think scream and emo music has depth.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you something I think is peculiar. I don't know if any of you saw 80s Town.
Oh, I didn't see it. I wanted to.
It was highly recommended to me by someone who is a musical person. And we went to see it. And I was underwhelmed.
Okay.
No, I didn't hate it, but I just, you know, it's about this myth and the, you know, the guardian of the underworld. And it's very mythical. And I didn't hate it, but I mean, it's visually very beautiful. Okay. You saw it. It wasn't my favorite show. I'm still with West Side Story and Les Mis. That's it. I've noticed since I saw the show when I'm in my car, over and over and over again, I'll hear something. You know, I don't sit and listen when you're in a car. You don't sit and listen to every single thing. I'll hear something and I'll say to myself, oh, that's beautiful. And it's been music from Hades now.
Oh,
and it is so strange because the words, there are words that I don't know what words go with what song. I couldn't hum a bar of anything from it, but probably at least a dozen times I've heard something on the radio. And my reaction is very positive. I'm reacting to what I consider beauty. And over again, when it's over, they say, and that was such and such a lady sound. I think I have to get that CD. I'm never going to go see the show again.
But it's rolling by you.
But it was magical. I mean, it's like...
And it's more musical than you notice.
Then usually it's the lyrics that are important to me, you know, that bring back meaning. And in this case, it is not the lyrics because I don't know any of the lyrics, but the music is truly beautiful.
I think this is a good song. I think this proves my point.
Yeah.
This is a great conversation.
Yeah.
It's great. Okay, so you all have your homework.
We can analyze Bye Bye Miss American Pie.
Well, that will take a whole
session. I'd have to first be on drugs to appreciate it.
No. My husband said that he had...
About the Kennedys.
Well, my husband said he'd heard an interview with Don McLean, and he said, I don't know, I just wrote it. It didn't mean anything.
Ouch.
Yeah.
But there was some other thing on some podcast that I didn't catch, that they were interviewing him and I was dying to listen to it and didn't catch it to see. Because I took a class in high school and poetry and music, and that was one of the songs.
There you go.
Huh.
There you go.
But I like this idea of using these titles as a springboard to what it all means, because music is sending a message. So whatever, if it's talking about romantic love or friendship love or love of children or, yeah, so all of those kinds of relationships and what's the meaning of life and the what comes after, and I'm very excited about this.
Does it matter if the person who wrote the music or the words didn't intend it to be that?
No. This is just an opportunity to springboard into the topic.
That's the thing about taking something that's just normal and bringing it up to a higher
level.
I'm
fine with that.
Well, are you looking at dates?
Yes, I was looking at dates.
So we can look beyond those songs specifically written for Jewish hermeneutics.
No, you can do whatever. You can do whatever. Whatever.
Can't wait to see the
glory. That's absolutely beautiful.
Music. Wait, that was the day, but
the 21st, a month from now.
Thank what?
Nope.
That's still your calendar.
Thanksgiving.
Oh,
that's Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is not till the 24th.
Yes,
yeah, so but some people who cook have to cook it in advance.
Wait a minute. I didn't say no. I just said, let me see. 21.
21.
Would you rather after Thanksgiving when everybody's stuffed?
20. 20. Oh, no, you said 21.
14.
14. 21.
Well, it can't be the 15th. That's a shelter meal.
Well, I think Monday night works.
Okay.
Do you prefer the 28th after Thanksgiving?
No, I'm probably going to be really tired then. No, this is good. 21st?
December 5th.
Rabbi T at my house, 7:30.
14?
21.
Well, I'll put it on there. Oh.
Sorry, that's an emoji. Awesome. Everybody's funny.
I'm looking at, you know how you type something in and other things that were similar pop up?
Yes.
I was like, what was that?
Okay, so the November 21st at 7:30 p.m.
I'm going to be older then than I am now.
I'm going to be older too.
Well, we all technically.
Exactly.
I was waiting for something to say.
Thank you for finishing my sentence.
Really?
And I am
okay. I'll tell Susie Fryer.
And love to have her back.
Shoot. 21st?
Unless, do you prefer doing it on Thanksgiving when you have this on anyway?
Well, I'm in a lot of Christian people.
I can share
that. That's okay. It's more interesting conversation.
Yeah. If they're polite. And no promises.
Especially the question we talk about never alone and like that. Yeah. When it meets.
Oh, yeah.
Mean Bell Monk Country Club has a lot of Christian people.
It's not Belmont Country Club. It's my husband's family.
Not many family.
Oh, yeah. Other than that, they are my family.
You're too funny. You're going to lose it.
That. Did your passport tonight?
Did my what?
Yeah.
No, did not.
No.
You have to get close.
It's I have to type the numbers.
Behind me was like, "Want a code?
You have to go."
Seriously, wow, that's
nice. Wait. None of your codes worked.
Nope.
Well, wait,
mine did.
I had you behind me.
This is the Chihuahua orphan. My grandson came.
All right, to make a note, 21st. We'll do
it next time. 21st. If I tell Susie to bring us on,
they won't let me in.
Email. I'm seriously. Email me. Send me some titles, folks.
No,
I like.
I want to know.